Again, Lord, you've given us grace each day for our jobs and our lives, Lord. Not only that, Lord, that we've been a witness somewhere to someone, Father, by your grace too. And Lord, we are so thankful we can gather around the Word again tonight. We're missing some. Some are sick and different ones, Lord. And the ones have been mentioned from prayer, Lord. We pray that you'll come on the scene for them, that you'll just be with us tonight and speak to us, Lord. Use your word, Lord, to bring us up higher. That's our desire, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So the last time we talked about the I had the notes here. Hang on 1 second. That's why I make notes, because I can't remember nothing. Hold on 1 second. I made notes, put them on my printout, and then walked out without the printout. So, welcome to getting old. All right. Well, I don't have it on there, but we talked about respects. We talked about reverencing the Word and what happens when we respect and reverence the Word. And we also talked about the seed being brooded over and how God was brooding over it and how that the Holy Ghost had to come, or you and I can't see nothing. That we're born into this world deaf and blind to God because of how we're born that way. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and the grace of God to come on the scene and help us, we wouldn't have anything. And so we want to talk about that some more tonight. And I wanted to bring something here at the very beginning, though, to talk about grace. Because he always talked about, I mean, not grace, but respects and reverence. And we talked about last time how that the wife should reverence the husband. And Brother Ram said that was a very rare thing that was mentioned in the Bible, was reverence and to the husband. And he said that in order to reverence the husband, a Christian woman could only reverence a Christian man because it's God that she's reverencing. And that's the only thing that she should reverence. Yeah. And tonight we're going to talk about a thirst. Brother Bram said a filter, and there has to be something in you to draw through the filter. He talked about the cigarette. Remember, everybody knows about him talking about the cigarette pack, and about how that it had filters, and in order to get the smoke and the tar, you had to suck the air in through the filter to get it. So something had to be on one side pulling it. And what was on the other side is what you wanted. in the case of a smoker. And he was saying that a child of God, a son of God who's born into this world in sin and trespasses, doesn't know anything about that. Doesn't have anything, no desire whatsoever. We're going to read it tonight. No desire whatsoever for God until the Holy Spirit comes and begins to draw you. And how that drawing happens is we're going to talk about that. But let's first talk about reverence to the Word. Because I think, honestly, one of the greatest problems in the world today, whether they're in the message or not in the message, is there's no reverence for this message. There's no reverence for God's Word. You think about how hard some men preach about women being in subjection. And think about if we preach that hard about us being in subjection to God. The same way. We just got through saying she can't reverence something that's not God. Because if she's a daughter of God, she can't. We're going to find out that before you're born again, you have no sense of God. You're deaf, you're blind to Him. And after you're born again, you can't do nothing but draw God. You can't do nothing but see God. You can't see nothing but Him. And we're going to read it. I'll read it to you tonight. So let's first look, though, at this little girl that Brother Brown was telling about. He was over in Russia. He was over in the Russia and Finland border. This was in 1955. And he had Russian soldiers with him. And I guess they were both Finnish people and Russian people in this meeting. And there were Russian soldiers with him. And this little Finnish girl wanted to talk to him. And so she came to talk to him. So this is him telling about that. And we'll find out what happened when she reverenced God. That went plumb down through Russia, went all through Russia. We was just a few miles from the border then. And that night, when I was going in, there was Russian soldiers standing at the salute when he went into the church. Four soldiers had to take me about six blocks to get to down through the city. Had to get to Musahali, where we had the meeting. They were standing saluting, and tears were running down their face. These soldiers, because he'd already had some meetings, I think. My interpreter said, "They are saying this, we will receive a God like that. We'll believe things like that." And that's what's the matter with Christianity, is the weakness of the pulpit. Preachers aren't ready to take God at His word. Amen. That's true. Now, I'll never forget something happened when I went in that night. Now, they'd give orders to nobody be on the street. Couldn't do more than speak to you, just to speak to me. I don't like them to do that, but you'd have stampede. And we'd eaten in the room all the time. And I think there must have been a bad spot on the tape. Too bad. And I remember I was going in, and these little soldiers with knives, and I was walking between them, and we went in to a little room. And as soon as we got in there, a door slammed, and a poor little Finnish girl stood looking at me. And she thought she had done something wrong. And she started quivering. And I knew the child wanted to see me, but she was fearful. So this little girl had hunted him out. And amongst all this that was going on. And a big strap over her shoulder. One leg was shorter than the other one. One on her right leg, she didn't have any use of her leg. So they had a big brace on a built-up shoe. And then she had a strap over her shoulder to help her move it because it was heavy. I think Brother Bram said she's an orphan from the war, so she can't be more than 10 or 12 years old. He's calling her a little girl. So they had big braces on a built-up shoe, Now watch, I'll demonstrate what it looked like. Around here was a big band, and back was a leather strap. It went over her shoulder, and this brace was over her big shoe, put up this way and hit on this band around here. And she had crutches, and the only way she could walk now, she had to come across this way and close to the toe of a shoe, and then she'd make a move, take her shoulder, lift up the leg, set it out like that. You see how she's having to get along. And then he set his crutches out and lifted up that leg, and that's the way she walked. And I noticed as she was standing there, her little ragged looking hair, her little skirts were all ragged. And I learned later that she was a Finnish war orphan, that she had no mother, father and mother. They were killed in the war. And she was just carried about, and charity had made her this big thing. And she looked at me, and she ducked her little head down, and she looked up again, and that Finnish soldier, an interpreter, had went in the door, and I couldn't speak a word of Finnish. And they were pushing on me, and I said, no, no, no. And two of them was against the wall. These other two behind me, I turned around to them and I said, shush, shush. He's telling the soldiers to be quiet. And I said, shush. And they stopped and they looked. And I looked at the little girl and I said, sweetheart, do you want to come to me? And she couldn't understand me, so I motioned to her. And she smiled, and here she come. Now this little girl has been passed from pillar to post. And if she's a little girl, she probably never knew her mom and daddy. But out of something made her come down to this church and find him amongst all this. How did God write his Bible? God writes his Bible. I just stood still and I looked at her. And she got right up close to me and set her little crutches down. And I wondered what she was going to do. And her little ragged clothes. And it just burnt my heart. And you know what she did? She took my little hand, and she took a hold of my coat. She took her little hand and took a hold of my coat and kissed my pocket. And I tell you, my heart would break. And she pulled her little skirts out. That's the way, the Finnish way for a little girl. Evidently, she was curtsying or something. That's the only thing I could think. And she said, Kitos. Thank you. And I looked again, and I said, oh, God, if I was the biggest hypocrite in the world, you would reward the faith, that child for that faith. She didn't know anything about him. Just somebody had told her what had happened. Remember the little woman at the well? She didn't know anything about him. All he done was told her something that had happened to her. It's all it took. And now she'd come found him. And I started to move this way, and I looked, and there went a vision. The little girl was walking normal, and I couldn't tell her because he couldn't speak her language. And I said, sweetheart, Jesus has healed you. She didn't know what I was talking about. I said, well, sooner or later, she'll find it out. So I went on in, and that night, you see that reverence and how God responds to the reverence. What did Brother Bram say? You had no sense of God whatsoever unless the Holy Spirit draws you. So the Holy Spirit had drawn her to do something. He was writing this part of the message right here. And the boys came to me, great piles of crutches laying, how the Lord had healed them. And then they said, it's time for you to go. And I said, let me call just a few more cards. So you know what happened. The next one they called was that little girl. So they set her up on the platform, and I thought, oh, there it is. So here she come. And I said to the interpreter, now just say what I say. I said, sweetheart, out there in the hall, Jesus healed you. Now you go over there and you sit down. And let some man take this thing off of you. Put your hands on your hips and move your hands right down as they take the brace until you feel your legs the same size. Then come back and show me. And so they started to call someone else. And in a few minutes, here she come, braces and crutches in her hands, running as hard as she could. Perfectly normal, well, Jesus Christ had made her well. So what was the purpose of all that? God don't do things for no purpose. She was honoring. You think about how many people was there scoffing at what he said. And here this little girl who can't even speak his own language hears about it and comes in and finds him and hunts him out because God put it on her heart to do it. And she listened. But I want you to see how God is writing his Bible. All right, so let's go over in a thinking man's filter. We're going to spend the rest of the time in here. And we're going to see how that Holy Spirit comes and what happens. Now, we talked this last time about how this Holy Spirit can come and it can just anoint the spirit, not the soul. And how that can cause all signs and wonders and things. But what does it not do? It does not make you live by the word. It doesn't change you. You still look at ways to live like this world and say you're a Christian. And so let's talk about how that happens. We talked about it a little bit. Let's get more into it. Brother Ram's talking about it in this message. Thinking man's filter. And when Israel sinned and recognized that they'd done wrong, then they were sprinkled with the ashes of a heifer upon them. And that was the water of separation, a purification for sin. Notice, here it is. And when Israel, before they could come into the fellowship, before Israel, after this sacrifice, but before they could come into the fellowship, in the worship, they had to first pass through this sacrifice, these waters of separation. They had to first pass through that first. Justification by faith cometh by hearing the word. Then they entered into the congregation under those seven stripes, the blood, to show that something had died and went before them for their sin. They were separated by hearing the word. Why? Because the word is God. And if you hear it, it's because he made it possible for you to hear it. Because we just said a while ago, you can't hear it when you're born into this world. So if you get your eyesight or you get your ears, your spiritual ears, it's because God has turned them on for you. They are separated. They were separated by hearing the word. When they heard the truth, now they couldn't listen to the bad anymore. Remember we talked about the man who sailed by us, the singing women on the island that would pull men in and then rob them. But when he come back by, they didn't faze him at all. And that's the difference. They were separated by hearing the word, the waters of separation, then entered into fellowship. So after they went through these seven stripes of blood, that sacrifice, after that, then they can enter into fellowship. Now, look where Brother Brown takes that. The only place that God can meet a man was behind that order. He wouldn't meet him anywhere else. He had to come behind that order. God only met Israel in one place. And God only meets you today in one place. And that's in Jesus Christ. And he is the word, the waters of separation. Amen. Now this is where he takes it. And his blood was shed for all seven church ages. And then by the Holy Spirit, we enter into the fellowship, which is only given to the church. Oh, how great he is. After we go through those church ages, then we enter into that fellowship. It's a fellowship in type until then, but after you went through that, then you enter into that place. Brother Ram say there's one place of worship. That's Jesus Christ. And we enter into that place. And also now we want to look at Ephesians 5:26. It said, it is the washing of the water of the word, a waters of separation. What does it do? Then the filter of God is the word. Okay, so we think about that cigarette. And everybody knows how a cigarette's made, I'm sure. Everybody's seen one. Tobacco's on one end, filter's on the other end, and the smoker's on this end. So Brother Branham is making the filter the word. Then the filter of God is the word. Waters of separation. Waters of separation by the word, God's filter. Then you can't come into Christ through a church filter. So if you're going to pull Christ into you, you can't pull it through a church filter, because why? Church filter going to let anything come through. But God's filter is not. It's only going to let God come through. You cannot come by a denomination filter or a creed filter. There's only one filter you can enter into that holy place. That's through the washing of the water of the word. The word of God is a thinking man's filter. The church will judge you here whether you're a good member or not. They'll give you a good funeral and a half mass, the flag on your death, send great wreaths of flowers and everything for you. But when it comes down to your soul facing God, it's got to have eternal life. And if it's eternal life, it's part of the word. And as my own word cannot deny, my own hand cannot deny my hand. My own eyes cannot deny my hand or my foot or my toe or any part of me. They cannot deny it. And neither can a man that's part of the word of God or a woman deny any part of the word of God. So now once they've been born again, they can't deny any of it. Before that, they couldn't see any of it. And now they can't deny any of it. Then the woman, when you think you can have bobbed hair and come in the presence of God, you're wrong. See, she's got another filter altogether. You see it, you're wrong. You can't come through God's filter where you're washed by the water of the word. Then you enter into the fellowship. You think you are, but you can't be until you come through the word. And every little spot, every little word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. So when you take that breath of God in, you don't want to take in part of the word. And if you got the filter of the word, you're going to take all of it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You see why it had to come after the church ages? Because it had to be every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's got to come through that filtration. Come through. And that gives a righteous man's taste. Because that's what he's looking for. Looking for something to cleanse him. The word of God is a thinking man's filter. And it makes a righteous man's taste. We know that true filters all the sin of unbelief out. And there's no more disbelief when you come through that filter. There's no more disbelief when you come through that filter. Now, we're going to get to why this is brooding over the seed in just a minute. You'll see. There's no more disbelief when you come through that filter because it's a true believer's taste. In other words, Brother Bram said if somebody gets a cigarette and they take a puff on it and they don't get the taste they wanted, they're not going to keep pulling it in. They're going to go find them a church where they can puff on it and they get what they want. They tell them how they can live and what they can do and what they can be. And so that's what he's talking about. When you got the right hunger in you, then you won't be satisfied until you can pull in God and not some piece or part of it, of God. because it's a true believer's taste. The true believer wants to be right regardless. He just don't want to say, well, I belong in social ranks. A true believer wants to be right regardless. Nothing matters else to him but being right. And by right, he means lined up with God. He just, now what would make that? What would make you want to line up with God unless it was God? He just don't want to say, well, I belong to the social ranks. I belong to church, the biggest church in town. I don't care if it's a mission on the corner, if it's a brush harbor somewhere. A thinking man knows that he's got to meet God. And regardless of that church, what the church says or anybody else says, he's got to come on God's terms. And God's terms is his word. And you can't come unless God draws you. But when you feel like that man Brother Branham just talked about, you can be rest assured it's God. Well, they say, God's word. Sure, all of them believe it's God's word. But can you filter through it? How are you going to let a bob-haired woman come through there? How are you going to do it? How are you going to let a man come through there that won't hold up for this doctrine, see? It ain't a thinking man's taste that won't do that. A thinking man will think. A thinking man will think twice before he jumps into something like that. Because what? What is his motivation? God Almighty is motivating him the same as he motivated that little girl who knew nothing to come down there like that. The same thing that motivated that little woman at the well who didn't know him from anybody. Suddenly, something seemed so right about what this man was saying that they could not turn away from it. You see that? Then it is satisfied. Notice the word cannot deny itself. Then it is satisfied, or it's the desire. It's the desire of what? What made you desire it in the first place? What made you desire to be lined up with God regardless of what it costs or who thinks what? It's a desire of what? A desire of what? What made you desire in the first place? Because down in your soul, there was a predestinated seed, which was eternal life. Down in your soul was a predestinated seed, singular, one seed, the royal seed. Because Brother Branham said we're born in Christ. There was one seed, and he says it multiple places. There was not your individual seed in there. It was the royal seed. Now, keep reading. Predestinated seed, which was eternal life, because eternal life was the thought, right? That's what God was. He was the thought. Always laying in there, always was in there. All that the Father had given me will come to me. There isn't any of them going to be lost. And you can't say rock and roll is of the world or is of God. Rock and roll is of the world. He's telling you what you ain't going to do. He's getting the big things because that's easy to get the big things, see? And any of those dances and filtered, nasty, filthy things, rather, is of the world. It's of the world. And we won't, and nobody that is drawing through this filter wants to get anywhere near it. Not anywhere near it. Not flirt with it. Not get even close to it, any of it. You can't say that bobbed-haired for a woman is of God. The Bible says it's not. So it's the filth of the world. And if you love one speck of the world, one speck of it, look up speck. It's pretty little. If you love one speck of it, the love of God is not even in you. Because God can't do that. Remember what we said? Before you're born again, you can't see God at all. You're blind and deaf to him. But then when it's time and the Holy Spirit comes, then you can't see nothing but God. And you're born again. The love of God is not even in you, see. What's that? Well, What's drawing it? It's something down on the inside drawing. The soul is drawing your resource through the outside, down through the spirit, into the soul. That soul is drawing it. The other one couldn't. Remember, he could back, Brother Ram said that he could come and anoint that spirit, but he wasn't going to anoint that soul. Why is that? Y'all think about that sometime. Why was he willing to anoint the spirit, but he wasn't going to anoint the soul? Not that old one. Down through the spirit, into the soul. And if the soul loves the world, it's dead. I don't care how it's anointed, it is out here. See, he corrected that. Out here. And how righteous it is out here. Down in here, it's dead. It can be righteous out there. It can be anointed out there. But down in there, be dead. For he that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in him. No matter how religious, the true filter that way will set all those things out and bring nothing but the trueness of God, the Word, into the real true soul. They're like Esau outwardly, okay? Esau was religious on the outside. And when it comes to religion, it seemed to be more religious than Jacob was. He seemed to be a better man than Jacob was. But the inside of him, what he was outwardly religious. But his thinking was not filtered. He didn't think right of the birthright. He didn't have that seed down in him, the royal seed. It wasn't there. He didn't think right of the birthright. He didn't think that God, the birthright, meant as much as God said it did. And that's why it upsets me so bad when people start belittling part of the message and try to make it hush-hush and quiet and things like that. I've heard so many times on these forums and other things like that. They don't want to face it straight on. They want to go around it. Brother Bram said they'll sit in their study and they'll come up on it and see it and turn real fast. So they don't have to look at it. Brother, you will look at it. Whoever that is that he was talking about, they will look at it. There he was, said, I'm hungry. What difference it make about the old birthright? You can have it if you want it. Oh my. See, I go to church. I'm just as good as you are. My denomination, why, it's one of the greatest in the world. My mother belonged to it. My father belonged to it. And this and that and the other. My pastor was educated. He's got so and so. That puts him as that much farther from God. That ain't a thinking man's filter. That's an intellectual man there. If it would, how could Peter ever been what he was when he couldn't sign his own name? But he packed the thinking man's filter. Peter was packing the thinking man's filter. And the only way he could pull through that thinking man's filter is if the Holy Spirit was doing it for him. Notice, oh my, Esau thought that the birthright didn't mean what God said it did. It was the difference. That was the difference between life and death. He belittled that part of the word. He didn't think it meant what God said it meant. He thought more of the way he thought than the way God thought. And that was the difference between life and death. What would we talk about with Cain and Abel back there? Cain, even though he was given the chance to do the same thing as his brother, refused to do it. He had his pride hurt. God hadn't took what he had done. And so he wasn't happy. And brother, that same spirit is all over the message, people, and denomination. It's everywhere. And it'll get on you if you don't watch it. Because if you don't think Satan is going around like a roaring lion trying to get whomever he can devour, and you look around the message and you see how many is getting devoured, but he can't touch one of God's. He can't touch them. And they said, Brother Branham, we believe that message is truth. Listen to this. But we can't accept it. If we did, why? Where would we preach it? What in the world has that got to do with it? Remember what Brother Branham said a while ago? Regardless of what it cost, they want the truth. That's the right thirst. But these don't. They're worried about how they're going to make money. If we did, why, where would we preach at? Oh, the world, brother. That's the parish. Certainly. Well, none of the brethren would back me up. Who cares? I ain't looking for none of the brethren to back me up. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to back me up. Because he stood by it. He's the one who said it. And as long as you stand by what God has said, God will stand by you. You know, those are the words that Brother Branham was saying when he stepped off that platform and they took his picture of the halo over his head. He said, I don't have to defend myself. God will defend me. Why? Because he was staying right by his word. God will do it. And when he went to step off the platform after them words, that's when they took that picture. Brother Ram said, God thought enough of him to have his picture took with him. Because he stood by it, he's the one who said it. And when the true birthright, the blood, filtered out by the word and all sin, and the world and the church and denominations and sectarianism is left outside. Education, civilization, church denomination, system, sin of all types is left outside when a thinking man takes the thinking man's filter in God's estimation. It's left outside. It's gone. There's nothing left in it when a man draws his life through God's filter. And he can't draw his life through God's filter without the Holy Ghost. We went through that the last time. But when he does, there's nothing of unbelief left. There's nothing left in it when a man draws his life through God's filter. Notice here, your life was all messed up with sin because you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies. I'm going to say something, as Brother McCullough used to say. Listen to me. When you come in this world, you were born in sin, and you didn't come with a fighting chance. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies, with that within your own spirit, the desire of sin, a lover of sin. Because you were born in sin, you didn't have a chance. But down inside of you somewhere, here you come. Here's what I was going to say. He said, there is something in there that began to draw. And the only way it can draw is if the Holy Spirit comes to it. Because you have to have the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, or you can't see this message. If you knowed it was something that told you there was a God somewhere, and you read his word, and then you took the church and you took their ideas when you was told better, and then you never used a thinking man's filter. But God was still drawing you. But then you used God's filter. See, the little woman at the well, she never used God's filter, even though she knew that thing she had in her mind was had to be. Because she'd had five husbands and she was on her sixth husband. She wasn't using her filter. But when she come across the filter and one time she applied it, what happened? But when you use God's filter, which is a thinking man's filter, because all other filters will pass away, but mine shall not.
And when you take God's filter and draw your life, your desires, if you draw your desires through God's filter, remember what we said a while ago about the cigarette? If you ain't getting the taste you want, you're going to put it down. That's the reason they smoke the cigarettes, because they get whatever they want from the cigarette. I was talking to somebody the other day that's been quit for 4 months, and I said, it should be getting easier. He said, not any day. He said, every day it's the same. So don't you ever start. Anybody who ever thinks about it, don't ever start. If you draw your desires through God's filter, a thinking man's filter, there is nothing left but the Holy Ghost. And I mentioned there, like the little woman at the well. Now, if you want the evidence of the Holy Ghost, there it is. There it is. When the only thing you're going to draw in is the truth, that's the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. What did Brother Branham say? That if Paul preached something was wrong, they would have known it, and they wouldn't have taken it. How would they have known it? It had the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want the evidence of the Holy Ghost, there it is. When that soul of yours will line with the Word of God in every respect, when that soul of yours has the Holy Ghost, it will line with every word in every respect. It shows you've drawn your life through the thinking man's filter, God's filter. Notice, is that God's filter? He said he was washed by the water of the word. And when God gave Adam and Eve a filter in the garden of Eden, he said, don't you draw none of this in there. But Satan punched a hole in it. Oh, it's a little bit, won't hurt. Just one drop through is all it took to set death in the whole human race. And if it was just one dot, one drop, where are we living, brother and sister? We got all the word. Brother Bram said he gave Adam and Eve 10 words to live by, and they couldn't live by them. But we've got the whole revelation of God before us. The seals have been taken off. And what do we do with it? Do we count it as worth as much as when Daniel saw that the 70 years was coming to an end? That prophecy meant so much to him that he started looking at it and praying about it and thinking on it and talking to the Lord about it. It meant something to him. Does the message mean that to us? That's all it takes. Just one taste of nicotine and they're gone. There's nothing left but the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that can take that away. And when that shows, and then that shows that you was that predestinated seed in you that makes you hunger for God. When you received that Holy Spirit, what happened? It made you start to hunger for God. And that Holy Spirit started to work on you. Now, all down through the church ages, it made them hunger for that part of the message. But then in this age, we're hungering for God Himself. All of it. All the Father hath given me, has given me to redeem. They died with me at Calvary, and they raised with me in the resurrection. All that He has given me will come to me. See, we're in Him. And everything that He wanted, we want it. We can't help but want it. Just like the wool can't help but grow out on the sheep. There's nothing going to stop it. When this is in us, it's going to happen. I'm sorry, I get excited. I get all tongue-tied and I can't get it out. But you think about it. You got His Spirit. We were in Him. All that He has given me will come to me. They'll be placed in the body where foot, arm, nose, mouth, whatever it is, they'll be placed in there. And they'll come to me in their seasons. Wherever they were placed, that's where they'll come to me. Oh my. And where are we? In the head. Oh my. There is that real filtration of all the sin of the world. And the love of the world is dead. And this soul is drawing only one thing. Here it is. Don't remember. Don't forget it. All you out there on the telephone, set this down in your mind. When a thinking man begins to think that he's going to stand before who he's going to stand before and what the word of God is, then he begins to think, then he begins to draw that. There's nothing can get to it but the Holy Ghost. When it's that seed of God that's drawing it, there's nothing can get to that but the Holy Ghost. What is it? It's the germ seed word from the beginning that you was in God at the beginning. It's what you was in God. Standing here, drawing the seed life. The seed is in your heart, drawing the seed life. The seed is in your heart by foreordination. Remember what the seed is. I don't want you to keep. It's so easy to go back and think this is an individual's seed. There's one seed. We're all of the royal seed. When Brother Branham spoke out, when God spoke out in the beginning, Brother Branham preach a whole message? The spoken word is the original seed. When he spoke out, we were in that. There. There's one seed. The seed is already in there by the foreknowledge of God, predestinated. And when it draws, it can't draw through nothing else but the word. And then it's the taste of the thinking man, the righteous man, the holy man who sees the Bible, that the Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. What comes into that place down there? That word that's in the heart. I've hid thy word in my heart that I sin not against thee. What is it? When it's drawing through the word, there's only one thing will pass through the word, and that's the Holy Ghost. That predestination is drawing life into it. You see that? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing that can pass through the word is the Holy Ghost. And a thinking man's filter gives a holy man a taste. Then he's tasted of heavenly things. He's got the word of God in his heart. He sees it manifested before him. So not is it only in his heart, but he sees it manifested before him in the life of the prophet, in God moving in his people. And his whole soul is wrapped up into it, wrapped into it. And the world and all the things is dead around him. A thinking man's filter of religion. And I'm thinking of filtering religion now. When a thinking man's filter gives a holy man's taste, see, it satisfies his taste. The only thing going to satisfy his taste, Brother Branham said, is the Holy Ghost, the Word. He sees that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He sees it. There it is. See him right before us doing the things he did. It satisfies the holy man's taste, his thinking. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the ministry that's going on and the word is coming forth. That's what he sees when he sees this holy man. He knows then that he's passed. When he sees that, he knows he's passed from death unto life, because that's the only way you can see it, brother and sister. It's a glorious thing to see this message. Pass from death unto life. And he loves. And it loves. Wait a minute. And he loves. And it loves for the world to be confirmed. And wants the word to be confirmed and vindicated. In each age he waits for it. This man that's got the right taste. In every age he's waited for it. In each age he waits for it. For he is a holy man. And he's got a desire to see God. Because what? The Holy Ghost come, anointed, brought that seed to life, and now he's drawing life, and he can only draw life. He can only draw the truth in. This man wants to see God. It's a true want to see God now. He don't see him in a bunch of creeds. He don't see him in a big fine pipe organs or cathedrals and high crosses or polished up scholars with their collars turned around. He doesn't see him in theology and in a theologian. He sees him in the confirmation of his word. And what is that? That's God bringing his word to pass. That's where he sees him. He waits for the Lord to bring it to pass. We don't get in a hurry. We don't try to push God ever. Just take his word into your heart. Look what that little girl done. She didn't come in to do anything. She didn't come in and ask him for anything. She just wanted to greet him. Just wanted to show him a little respect and thank him for coming. I sometimes wonder if, you know, the three Hebrew children wasn't trying to tell him what to do. They just said, we know he can, but we're not going to turn against his word. Daniel wasn't trying to work out something. Daniel just walked right into the den. We watched Jesus on several times there, Pilate trying to give him a way out. And Jesus opened not his mouth. Or he told him something that would take him even further away from stopping the crucifixion. You think about it. Sold out to the word. Nothing else in this world mattered. That's why Brother Branham says, when you're walking in this world along with him, everything else looks like there's something wrong with it. Everything looks like it's just a mess, you know. So let's stand. And when we talked about there, about the, hang on a second. I just saw it a minute ago. Well, I just ran across it there. There was a part that we were going to get into next week or next service. So, but we'll find out when to get to the next service. Unless the Lord changes my mind. This wasn't what I was going to bring tonight. And when I was listening in the car, I was just going down in order. I ran across this one, Thinking Man's Filter. And when I started hearing him say a few things, I jotted them down. And I went and got in a study later and started reading on them. And I thought, oh my, gonna have to go in here now and then move what I had for tonight over, you know. So I appreciate when he does that, because like I said, you know, I go to work and he's giving me a brain. I can use the brain to work on computers because I can think like computers, I guess, and I can just go with it. I have a freedom to just work out the problems and things like that. And I don't have, and there's been times though I've stopped and said, Lord, this is whooping me. Please help me out a little bit here. And he has. He's come on the scene over and over. But when you go in the message, brother, you're not going to work it out that way. You're just not going to do it. God's going to pour it into your heart. Just like he poured it into that little woman at the well's heart. Just like he poured it into that little girl's heart. For the faith, just like every time he's ever manifested his word, because he manifests his word by bringing it to pass. So let's come to the music. And well, I still keep thinking about the one I sang last time. I guess that's getting too many times singing it. See if I can find a new one.
Let's sing him the first two verses of How Long Has It Been? 291. I think Katrina said this used to be one of her mother's favorites. So let's sing those first two stanzas.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden and you called Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you?
We'll sing the rest of it.
How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that He'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? Oh, how long has it been since you walked with our God and felt that the days were worth living? Call Him your friend. How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you?
Amen. Y'all got one y'all want to sing? We'll sing that too. Got one hope? No? There's so many in here we've never sung before. At least I don't know them. Let's sing 266, Because He Lives.